Thank you, worship team. I could have worshiped for a couple more hours like that. Praise God. Would you pray with me as we begin the study of His Word? Father, we come before you today and we want to thank you for just giving us the privilege to come into your presence. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for being here with us. Would you speak to our hearts, illuminate the words to us, that Lord God, everything that will be spoken of will be from you, from your word, from your heart. Would you minister to us in that way? There may be some here who are in desperate need of the answers that you have for them from your word. I pray that you minister as you will in your loving kindness and mercy. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen. Amen. Some of you may have names in your mind that made a difference in your life. I know I have a few names that's in my mind, and certainly I've shared with you before. One name is my pastor, Pastor Lee Hearn. His name is very precious to me. I'm sure that most people in this world don't know who he is or what he is, but he means a lot to me. You might have names like that, people that have made a difference in your life. I was doing a little research about Texans. Since I didn't spend most of my life in Texas, I don't know what names are the most important here, but I remember going to the Alamo, and there was a hotel called Crockett, right? You guys might have stayed. It's a really expensive hotel, nothing I can afford. But my daughter-in-law's maiden name is Crockett. So once upon a time, I asked them, actually, if your last name is Crockett, you get to stay there one free night. Did you know that? Well, obviously, there were too many Crockett's in this world, and they had to change that policy. They did get something, but it wasn't a free night. I told my daughter-in-law that. I said, oh, too bad. So that's very important, Davy Crockett, right? You know, Sam Houston was a name I didn't know much about at all. I hear that he was a great man, right, in Texas. That's why Houston's called Houston, I think. I'm not sure, but I think so. Sam Houston. And he was a great general who defeated the Mexican back in those days, and was a governor. And was, by the way, the only governor in the Confederate state area that refused to sign on to be a separate country. And for that, he lost his position. I don't know, someday, because of immigration policies, maybe Houston would not be called Houston anymore. You know, that's how it is, right? And sure, there are all kinds of names that you can think of. If you're from East Asia, perhaps a name like Chiang Kai-shek would be important. Maybe Mao Zedong would be a person you know of, but you don't really like. There are names like that. If you're Greek, Alexander would be a great name. If you're British, you know, Elizabeth, of course. And of course, even though he lost the war, Napoleon would be very popular amongst the French, right? But there are two names that is universally, for humanity's sake, that is really important to us. Of course, one name we know, we worship him, we praise his name, that's the name of Jesus. There's another name. The other name is Adam. Adam. Today we get into a passage that's important for us to know. And it's connected to next week because it's two together, but we'll separate it. For the time being. Today we want to talk about Adam because we want to talk about the power of sin and death. Let me give you a little bit of understanding. If you don't know the scriptures that well, I hope you do. You know Adam, we believe in the Word of God. We in the church believe that men and women are created by God. We didn't come from monkeys. We certainly didn't come from, you know, amoeba somewhere. We are created as man, as woman. And so in creation, Genesis chapter 2, we can read all about that. Adam was created. And then out of Adam, a rib, God used to create Eve. When he was created, he was sinless. In fact, we know if you do a little study of Adam, you will understand that Adam was an amazing human being, an amazing creature. Because God, after he created, he said, it is good. When God says something is good, that means it's something perfect. We know from biologists and scientists, we know that we only use 10% at most part of our brains. Some of us use maybe a little less. 10%. Can you imagine what the other 90% could do? Now, I don't know. I'm a comic freak. When I was a kid, you know, you see all these X-Men and all these kind of guys. Maybe we can do some of those things. Who knows? And remember, if you study the galaxies and the universe, you know there are just who knows how many planets out there. God didn't create them like that so that they're uninhabitable. He created them for a reason, because if no one died ever, then we would have populated this earth really quickly, and we would have to move on to other planetary places to live and to thrive. So you can imagine. You can just imagine what the world would have been, or the universe would have been, had there not been sin. And Adam created the way God has created him. But nevertheless, there is sin. That's why we're talking about the power of sin and death. In case you don't know, sin did not originate with Adam by any stretch. Now, it originated, and we're going to talk about it. He's the cause of it lingering into humanity, but it came before, long before that. If you don't know who sinned first, when God created, he created not just human beings. He created the universe, the creatures and all that, but he also created one particular being, kind of being, called angels. And we don't know how many there are. There probably are billions of them. We don't know. But amongst the angels, there was the greatest of all, and his name is Lucifer. They call him all kinds of things, the morning star, et cetera, all kinds of names. And he was so powerful, so mighty, so majestic, so beautiful, so awesome. Of all his creation that God has made unto that point, he was the greatest, and because of that, pride came into his life. And you can find that from Isaiah chapter 14. You can read about that. And he even determined that he was so great that he was greater than God. He said, I'm going to set my throne above heaven. And so sin came into his life. Sin became an entity, a fact in this universe that God created. So he's the originator of sin. Not only did he do that with himself, he spread it amongst angelic beings so that one-third, however many there were, one-third of them fell with him and joined him, and now we call them demons. You can find that in the book of Job and a number of other places in Revelation and so forth. This is the origination of sin. So you say, what does Adam have to do with him? Well, Adam is the one that made it so that the rest of humanity also live in sin. You say, wait a minute, I'm not getting that. Why would it be Adam's fault? First of all, he didn't do it first. It was his wife Eve. It was the woman. That's what Adam said too. It's her fault. And today we have lots of men that like to blame the women. It's her fault. Children are not growing up. It's her fault. I'm working. It's her fault. But you see how God does it. Whether our society wants to see it or not, this is not how it works. First of all, just to let you know what happened, Eve was deceived. Satan, in the form of the serpent, who used to be beautiful, came into her presence in the Garden of Eden and told her to eat this. Now, God has created the world, the universe. Everything was possible for Adam and Eve. There was no hindrances whatsoever. There was only one thing. And God put it there because unless you have that one thing, you are nothing but a robot. You have to make a choice. And that's a choice that God gave to Adam and Eve. You do not do this. And the very thing, the one thing out of millions of things they could have done, they chose to do that. And Eve had a little help. Serpent came in and deceived her. She said, wow, God said, well, I can do that. Because the moment we do it, will surely die. And what does the serpent say? Oh, no, you're not. You won't really die. It's just that your eyes will be open. You know, you'll be able to see more things. You'll be able to know more things. Isn't that always like that? Isn't that always like that when sin comes? Oh, no. Don't think that. This is really the truth. Whatever it is, whatever sin it is, so Eve was deceived. She took the fruit, she ate it. And then she offered it to her husband, Adam. Now, at this point, Adam was not deceived. He willfully decided to take it and eat it and consume it. And that's what he did. So there's a difference here, right? Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. But there's something else bigger than that, in fact. Even though it was Eve that started it, God held Adam responsible. Whether we like to think it or not, that men and women are created equal, we are created equal in that way, but there's different authority. No matter what happens, Adam is still the head of the home, the head of the family. So you as fathers, you as husbands, you can deny whatever, but God is going to hold you responsible for your family, for your marriage relationship. This is just how it is. That's how it works here. That's why the name of Adam and not Eve is put in here. So Adam was the person that made a choice. And his choice was to eat this fruit that his wife offered to him because she already did it. And then immediately he went on to blame her. That is a consequence of sin, right? So the arrival of sin came that way. And because of that, every single person that has been born from Adam and Eve, and we all have been, we are all relatives of Adam and Eve, sin has been a part of it. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit more. You say, why? Why should it be? Why should I be responsible for what Adam did? I mean, I have my truth. You know the whole phrase today? I have my reality. I have my responsibility. If he did something, why should I live the consequences of it? Why? I don't know if you understand humanity and how it works. Those who are sociologists, they've probably seen a whole lot. If you're a social worker, you probably see it. Isn't it interesting that certain families have certain traits, right? We always say, you know, families from alcoholics will end up being alcoholic. Those who are drug addicted will also be drug addicted eventually. Those who beat their wives will probably beat their girlfriends. Their children are going to beat their... It's just one of these things that carry on. There's generational things. We understand that. And sometimes we understand that to be generationally spiritual battlefields. But the fact of the matter is there are traits that follow through. And the reason for that is because sin. I know that even culturally, there's certain things about us. You know, those of you that are Chinese... There are good things about Chinese people. There's certain traits about them. Very focused on studies and educations and taking care of your family. So there's other things too. One of the things is very materialistic. We hoard things. We do those kind of things. This is just part of our culture. You take a look at other cultures, and it could be other things. I'm not an expert in Hispanic cultures or Latinos, but there are certain things about the Latino culture. There's this machismo, I'm told, all the time. It's really important. And then if you go to other cultures in Africa, you find other things as well. If you go to the Middle East, there's certain cultures. It just carries on. Families and cultures. You know what? In humanity is sin. Once Adam took that fruit and ate it, once he disobeyed God, sin came into his life. And all his children, every descendant, then has the sin nature. And he said, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what. See, with the arrival of sin, there's the aftermath. And Paul talks about it. Death came. Death came. Did you know that before this happened, you're not supposed to die? You won't die. Adam and Eve won't die. I know they lived a long, long time. They probably lived, well, I'm not exactly sure how many years. You can read that in Genesis. But you know what? Hundreds of years. But eventually, they still died. See, the aftermath, the consequences of sin is death. Sin is never sin alone. Sin is also sin and death. And there's three ways you die. And what do you think death is? It's kind of like, you know, I'll take a battery and something's not working anymore. I take it out and say, the battery's dead. You know what it is? There's no juice in it. It doesn't affect anything. It doesn't turn my clock on. It doesn't do anything. It is dead. We understand death to be something that does not respond to that which is alive. There's three kinds of death, the scripture tells us. The first death is just physical death. We are going to die, and the body that was created by God not to die will die and it will become dust again from which it was brought out. Nobody would argue that, really. I heard that there was some theology today that's teaching that, you know what, not only will God heal you of everything, but you won't even die. If you hear this theology, run from it. We're going to die. There's a second death, and the second death is a spiritual death. We're separated by God. We don't respond to God anymore because our spirit is dead to God. And when God does something, when the Spirit of God does something, we can't even recognize it almost unless God allows us to feel Him and touch Him. We're just dead to God. That's why Nicodemus, in asking Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "You must be born again. You must have a new life. Your life, the spiritual life, must be awakened again. You must be born to this spiritual reality." So that's the second death. And of course, the worst death of all is eternal death. The world can deny it all at once, and they can teach it all at once. Your friends can say, "Oh no, that's garbage, it's not happening." Whatever it is real. The Bible tells us there's going to be a place called hell, and after hell, it's even worse as the lake of fire, in which hell is thrown in. And that's the third death and final death. These are the aftermath of sin. And the scripture is very clear right here in Romans 5. It says death. It doesn't beat around the bush. And death through sin. It is because of sin of man that death will come. It's going to come. You know, we want good things to happen to our families. We want good things to happen to our lives, our friends, colleagues. We may not care about people we don't know. We may not care about people from a distance. We may not care about them, but we care about those, right? Just know this. Don't ignore this. There's sin. And sin comes with death. And when you see your coworkers at work, and they're living this life out, you need to look at them with an understanding that one day they will die. That's not going to stop. That will happen. When you care about your children and your grandchildren, but they're not walking with the Lord, or they don't care about church at all, they don't care about spiritual life, they just want to live on their own, you need to look at them and understand that because of sin, you say, "Well, they didn't do anything bad. They didn't commit all those crimes against humanity." It doesn't matter. Because of the sin of Adam. Because what happened thousands of years ago, the consequences of sin and death is going to happen. You say, no, that can't be. They can't be guilty of it. And that's why we go to the third thing here, and it says the effects of sin. This is important. When I was reading this, I was saying, this is really hard to understand a little bit, right? Because it says, okay, through one man sin entered the world. I can get that. Adam did it, and so because of that, I have it. I can take that. And death through sin. Because of sin, I'm going to die. That's clear. But then verse 13 says, "For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." What does that mean? You see, the Almighty God is a just God. He will not apply a consequences to us if we didn't know the consequence. I was driving down my street a long time ago. By the way, I've never, ever gotten a ticket in my whole life, okay? Driving ticket, never. You know, Camaro or not. No one has ever given me a driving ticket. There might be other reasons, but, you know. But I was speeding on this time. And a police officer pulled me over. And I had a nice chat with him. He said, "Do you know, sir, you were driving 47 miles an hour?" I said, "Okay, that doesn't seem very fast. But the limit is 30. "Really? Okay. You see that sign back there? I guess I missed that. But because he's a nice guy, he let me off. And because he found out my son was a police officer too, that helped. You see, if there was no sign there, he couldn't do that, right? He couldn't give me a ticket. But there was a sign there. I was speeding. I was guilty. He got me with his radar gun. I got it. You say, "Wait a minute. Before the law, which happened to come during Moses' days. You remember that? Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he came back down with the Ten Commandments, right? That's the law. That's the law. And before that happened, there were no Old Testament even. Because Moses wrote most of those books in the beginning, right? So if you're living before the days of Moses, you don't have laws. So from the days of Adam to Moses, that's what he's talking about here. That's what God is saying through the Apostle Paul. There was no law. So how can you impute the law into my life? Someone would say, well, you can't. You can. But remember Romans 2? The law is already written in our hearts. We have a conscience. Remember Romans 2? It talks about the universe, general revelation. So it was all there. And you say, well, that's not fair. But the fact of the matter is, God deemed it to be fair. And how do we know he deems it to be fair? Because they still died. Because you can't have something that is consequential to something that's not. So sin was already in the world. Even from the days of Adam all the way to the days of Moses. You know, today, one of the things we love to do, we love to make our own laws. It's amazing what's happened the last 30 years in my lifetime. Because Barbara and I, and many of you, lived through this whole stretch. We grew up in the 70s. And the 60s were even different. And we saw the changing laws, the things that have been amazed, that we are amazed at. From the laws of abortion to the laws that are just, we can't even get it today. It's changing all the time. And by the way, I'm working and we'll be announcing it next week, a Sunday school class, and the title will be, Are These the Days of Noah? Got to a place where, you know what, there's no laws anymore. Moralities don't matter. And we're creating it. We're telling people what is right and wrong. And we are legislating it from the legislator, wherever it may be, whether in this country or in a country like China or Africa, anywhere else. We're making up laws as it goes. And we're saying this is right and this is wrong. And it might have been wrong 20 years ago, but it's right today. And who knows what 20 years from now, what is right and wrong. And we're doing that all the time. And just because we made these laws up and we have these social mores, we think it's okay. We don't get to make these laws. We don't get to make moralities. We don't get to design that. We don't get to say, eating the forbidden fruit is not sin. God, change it. We don't get to do that. And yet we think we do. And we're doing that in the churches today too. We're embracing what the world says. And God, who cares about him? He was way off with Adam and Eve. It shouldn't have been Adam and Eve at all. It shouldn't have even have a sexuality involved. He should have just created two creatures. Let them decide what they want to be called. Let them decide whether they are men or women afterwards. That's the things that we would say to him. And so we call that. But nevertheless, the effects of sins are still there. You see, because people still died. Even though we change the laws, we change the mores, we change what is called sin and not, it doesn't matter. The consequences are the same. There's still death. It didn't matter whether it happened 10 years after Adam and Eve were created, or, you know, 10 years before Moses found the tablets and discovered and brought them down from Mount Sinai. It doesn't matter. The effects of sin is there. And so that's what the scripture is talking about here. We may not feel the consequences of the things that we don't know anything about. But we certainly have enough things written in our hearts that the Almighty God said, you are guilty. And it goes on. The last thing, the effects of sin, and then the answer for sin. It's interesting, and I won't get too deep into it. Certainly not today, but it says, Adam was a type. Who's a type of him who was to come? Him is Jesus. If you don't know what a type is, typology is in the Bible. There's different things that are considered types. Type is kind of like a picture. You want to look at it. You say, what is Adam? What does that mean, a type? Well, Adam was a type like Jesus. See, because of Adam, because of what he did, there were all these consequences that happened. You have no choice in it. Because of what Adam did, all men will receive death sentences. And there's no way out of it. He established this sin nature in humanity. So Seth, Cain, Abel, three boys that were born, they all had that in them. And it was very clearly seen right away. You saw what Cain did. You know, there he killed his brother. You want to talk about sin right away? Murder, sedition, lies, deceptions, on and on and on. It was sin there already. It was lodged in. And every single person that was born is estimated there's approximately 110 billion people that were ever born and existed in this world. We all had that sin nature in us. It's type. Now the answer is going to be someone else. His name is Jesus. And because of what he has done, and everyone who believes on him, you see, this very same opposite thing, in a sense, salvation will be given. And we're going to talk about it. It's exciting. I've been studying that for next week, and I've been reading scriptures and looking through it. It's so exciting. Because, you see, we didn't do anything to earn the sin nature. We didn't. We did nothing. I didn't eat that fruit. I wasn't there. You know what? There's nothing I could do to earn salvation either. I wasn't there. I wasn't at the cross of Calvary. I wasn't there. But it doesn't matter, you see, because Jesus did it anyway. Just like Adam did it anyway. He did it. And the only difference is I just have to embrace it, believe his word, and say, Jesus, I believe you. I believe you died for me. And I believe that Jesus raised you from the God raised you from the dead. I believe you are my Lord. That's all I have to do. There's nothing else I can do. I can't change my state of sin and death. Only Jesus can do that. I didn't cause my state of sin and death. And I didn't cause my salvation. Jesus did that. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So we go through our lives understanding the power of sin. Don't for a moment think that the power of sin has lessened just because we in America decided that the power of sin is not what it is. No, no. It has never lessened. It is still death. It is still death. But the difference is we can change those consequences. We can change those consequences because Jesus Christ has done it for us. I don't have to die eternally. I can live forever. I don't have to die spiritually. I can be born again. And I may have to die physically if the Lord doesn't come back, but my body will resurrect again. So all three of those categories of death are overcome by the power of the cross. Isn't that great? Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much that though we are creatures of sin, oh Lord, we can't change that. It's just who we are. But Lord Jesus, thank you so much for making it possible for us to live otherwise. Here, now, and in the future. Oh Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your sacrifice for us. In your name we pray. Amen.